Okay, welcome, Kaitz Kedushin Chabura. We are up to Mem Hei Amud Beis, towards the middle, by the two dots, Niskachash Ledas Aviha. First word of the line is Delo Tarach, where by the two dots, Niskacha Ledas Aviha. So if you recall, we've been discussing, for the last Amud and a half, we've been discussing the different halachas pertaining to a Ketana who is Mekabel Kesef Kedushin, without the das of her father. And we know, again, as we've pointed out many times, the father has a right, has a schus, to mekadesh his daughter, Ketana, to another man, mekabel the kesef kedushin, on her behalf. That's his legal right to do so. And so we discussed in the last few shiurim what is the halacha when the Ketana does so without the consent of the father. Now we're going to move on to another similar situation. But not only are we discussing now Kedushin, but now we're discussing Nisuin. We all know there are two stages to a full-fledged marriage. There is the first stage, which is the Erusin, the Kedushin. And then there comes a second stage called Chuppah, called Nisuin. Different shitas in Rishonim as to how to define Chuppah and Nisuin, but Ezra Hashem, you'll hear about it this coming Elul. But right now, we know there are two stages of marriage. There is Kedushin and Nisuin. And just as we said, a father has a right, a legal right, to marry off his daughter in Kedushin, to Mekabel Kesef Kedushin, he also has the schus to complete the Nisuin as well, on her behalf. And so the Gemara now wants to know, what if we have a situation where the Kedushin was done in the das of the father, it was done ledas aviha, he accepted the Kedushin on her behalf of his Ketana, but the second stage, the Nisuin, was the one that was done without the das of her father. What is the halacha there? We're going to discuss this halacha in three situations, and that's going to be today's shiur. The first situation is going to be Kedushin, which is the das avia, but the Nisuin is not the das avia. It's without his consent. And the case is where the father went on a business trip. That's going to be case one. Case two is going to be, again, Kedushin with the consent of the father, but Nisuin without the consent of the father. But in case two, the case is where the father will be present, but he's quiet, and we're not sure if he agrees or disagrees. The third case is going to be the most extreme, which is where the Ketana is Mekabel Kedushin, not Ladas Aviya, and the Nisuin is not Ladas Aviya. Both stages are done without the consent of the father. And we're going to understand what exactly is the impact in halacha, and the way the Gemara is going to bring it out is through the halacha of truma. We know that when it comes to a woman who marries a Kohen is allowed to have truma, obviously, but also his wife, who even though she was maybe a Yisrael beforehand, now that she's married to him, is also zocha in truma. Now, midah raisa, as soon as the Kohen is mekadesh his wife through kedushin, midah raisa, she's already allowed to have truma. However, midrabanan, Chazal instituted that an isha has to wait until she's fully nisua, fully married to the kohen, to have truma. So midaraisa, she's allowed to have truma as soon as the kedushin takes effect, but midrabanan, we make her wait till after nisuin. And so we're going to discuss this halachic impact through this halacha that we're discussing right now about the capacity for a ketana to do an nisuin without the das of her father. So let's do the first case right now. Niskacha ledas avia, the ketana was mekudeshes to Reuven, let's say to the Kohen, Reuven, and it was done with the das of the father, with the full consent, no problem. However, v'halacha vilam dinasayam, her father then went and traveled abroad. V'amda v'nises, and she went ahead and did the second stage, she did the nisuin without his consent, without the father's consent. She did it in his absence. So what is the halacha? Is she allowed to eat truma or not? Do we view that this nisuin took effect, and now she's able to midra button have truma now? Or do we say that no, only the kedushin was done with his consent, the nisuin was not, and so she's not able to have truma midrabanan until we know for a fact that he's not protesting. So this is a machlokas. Amarav ochelas mitruma atchiyavu aviyavayimche. Rav says she's allowed to eat truma until her father comes back from abroad and he protests. In other words, Rav says, we have no reason to assume that the father will be upset or displeased about what happened. After all, he did accept the Kiddushin, he did have consent for the Kiddushin, so why would we assume that the second stage of this suin would be done without his pleasure? Of course he'd be happy about that and satisfied, as Rashi points out. And therefore, we will allow her to eat truma until the father comes home, and then we will clarify from the father, and if he protests, okay, we'll have to take it back. But why would we assume that he's going to protest? Let's allow her to eat it, the truma, even right now. Midaraisa, she's certainly allowed to, because the kedushin was done with the father's consent. The derabbanan concern that she has to wait till nisuin, and we don't know if we have his consent. Why would we assume that he's not going to consent? Let's presume that he will give his consent and let her eat truma, no problem. That's Rav's shita. Comes along Rav Asi, and he says, no, Rav Asi, Omar eina ocheles. This woman who did kedushin ledas avia with his consent, but the nisuin was done in his absence without his consent, is not allowed to eat truma. Why? Shema yavo avia v'yimcha, because we taka have a chashash. Maybe the father will come back and he will protest. It's true he may have given consent to the kedushin, but it's not clear yet if he has given consent to the nisuin, if he wants to go through with it all the way. And since there is a chashash that maybe when he comes back, he's going to protest, he's going to be moche, it's going to come out, v'nimtzeis zara ochelas b'truma l'mafreya. It'll come out that a zara, meaning this girl, who's not a kohen, is going to eat this truma l'mafreya, which is retroactively, she's not allowed to do. If we allowed her to eat the truma before the father comes back, and then when the father comes back, he ends up protesting, it'll turn out that she ate truma illegally. She's not allowed to eat that truma. So therefore, Rav Asi is concerned, and he says, you are not allowed to eat the truma, even though the kedushin was done with the consent of the father, but the nisuin, we still don't have consent, and even though this is only a derabbanan concern, because midaraisa, she's allowed to have truma, once the kedushin took effect, but even on a derabbanan level, we will not allow her to eat the truma. This is the machlokes, Rav and Rav Asi. Rav says she can eat the truma, and Rav Asi says she cannot, in this case, where the kedushin was done with the consent of the father, but the nisuin was not. Hava uvda v'chayish le'rav l'hai de Rav Asi. There was once a maisa where this case happened, where again she got kedushin l'das avia, but her father went away, and now she did the nisuin on her own. And what is the halacha for truma? The chashla Rav, who was mekel, he said you're allowed to eat truma. Now Rav was a bit concerned l'hai de Rav Asi. He was choshesh for the shita of Rav Asi. So although Rav paskined in the beginning that she's allowed to eat truma, when an actual case arose, Rav was concerned for the shitas Rav Asi, and he was machmir in deference to Rav Asi. The Mefarshim point out whether or not this is viewed as a chazara, that is Rav retracting or not, but al kopanim, Rav in this instance was choshesh for the shita Rav Asi, and in deference to Rav Asi, he was choshesh not to allow her to eat truma. But al kopanim, this is our machlokas. Rav says, in principle, be yisoid, you are allowed to have the truma, whereas Rav Asi says you're not allowed to eat the truma because the nisuin was not done with the consent of the father, and maybe he'll protest when he comes home. Mimidina sayam. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says that even though Rav in general would allow for her to eat truma, Rav does make a split. Umode Rav she'im meisa ena yorsha. Rav is mode that if this Kitana, who only had Kiddushin with the consent of her father, but the Nisuin was done without his consent yet, because he's away, he's traveling away, Rav is mode that if this Kitana dies after the Nisuin, ena yorsha, her husband will not be able to yarshin her, will not be able to receive her assets through Yerusha. We know in general that a husband, once he's fully married to his wife, a full Nisuin, with Nisuin, everything, then he has the right to yarshin her when his wife dies. So in this case, we have a situation where the Kiddushin was done with the das of the father, but the Nisuin, the second stage, was not done yet with the consent of the father because he's away. And then she dies. Does the husband have the right to accept get the Yerusha or not. So we would have thought that maybe Lefi Rav, yes, since Rav is not Choshesh, that the father is going to protest, because the Maisa, the father, did accept the Kiddushin, so why would we assume he's not going to accept the Nisuin? And Haraya, Rav is allowing her to have Truma, so we may have thought that also by Yerusha, the husband should be able to receive the Yerusha, because the Maisa, why would we assume the father would not agree to this nisuin that took place? However, the Gemara is making a very important point. Uki mamona becheskas mare. We have to leave the money in the presumed owner, in the original owner, meaning in the owner of the ownership of the ketana, who now was nifter. It'll go to her heirs, it'll go to her yorshim, and not to the husband. Why is that? What's the difference between truma and yerusha? So the Rashi explains that really B'Yesod Rav was Mesupak. Really, Kiddushin, the father accepted. That's true. Nisuin, he was away. He was out of town. We're not sure if the father is going to concede or not. We're not sure if he's going to give his acquiescence. So we're Mesupak. So the Gabe Truma, where we said Mideoraisa, she's already allowed to have it based on Kiddushin, and the only issue here is a Dirabanan issue, that Chazal wanted her to wait till Nisuin. So Rav was willing to presume that the father will give consent to the Nisuin, because we're only dealing with a Dirabanan issue. However, when it comes to Yerusha, we still have a Suffolk, we're still not sure. By the Truma, it was a Suffolk on a Dirabanan issue, so we can be Makel, and we can allow her to eat the Truma, and not be concerned that the father will show displeasure. But when it comes to Mamanus, when you have a Suffolk in Mamanus, that's not how it works. You can't just go the Kula. When it comes to Suffolk in Mamanus, Hamotzi Michaver Alav Araya, we give the money to the Muchzak, and if you want to be Motzi it from the Muchzak, you have to show proof. And so since we're Mesupak as to whether or not the father would have given his consent when he came back or not, in this case, when the ketana dies, the husband does not have a right to get her Yerusha, because we will leave the money in the possession of the original owner, which was the ketana, and we're mesupak as to whether or not the father would have consented when he comes home or not, and therefore he can't yarshin it, because b'yisod hadvarim, it's a suffik as to whether or not the father will accept this nisuin or not. This concludes the first case where the kedushin was done with the consent of the father, but the Nisuin was done without the consent of the father. And we had a machlokas between Rav and Ravasi as to whether or not she's allowed to eat the truma or not. Midaraisa, she certainly can, but midarabanan, we wanted to know, can she eat the truma? Rav said she can, because even though we're mesupak, it's a darabanan issue, and we would not assume that the father will be mocha when he comes home. Whereas Ravasi was choshesh that maybe the father will be moche, will protest when he comes home, and therefore don't allow her to have the truma. Now we go move on to case number two. Neskach ledas avia, same thing. She was mikudeshes to the das with the das. No avia, means with avia. It means with her father's consent. Just the Gemara does not spell out the word aviha here, but it means the same thing as before. Neskach ledas, she's mikudeshes. The ketana gets mikudeshes with the consent of her father. And again, the same case as before, v'nisei shelo ledas, but she gets married without his consent, the second stage, nisuin. But as opposed to the first case where the father went away and traveled abroad, here, v'avia kan, her father is present. He's in the same city, same town. So Rav Huna Amar, we have another machlokas. Rav Huna Amar, what is the halacha regarding truma? Let's say this Reuven was a Kohen. Can this Ketana now eat Truma or not? So Rav Huna Amar Eino Ochelas. Rav Huna says she's not allowed to eat the Truma, which we're going to explain in a moment. Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Amar Ochelas, whereas Rav Yirmi Bar Abba argues and says Ochelas, she is allowed to eat. Now the Gemara explains each one of these reasons, and the Gemara also, in doing so and explaining the reason, shows that this is not connected to the previous case. And this is as follows. Rav Huna Amar Eina Ocheles. Rav Huna says that this Ketana is not allowed to eat the Truma of this Reuven Kohen. Why? The afil the Rav de Amar Ochelas, and even though we saw earlier that we had a shita of Rav who said that you are allowed to eat the truma when the father goes away, says Rav Huna, there's a fundamental difference. Hasam, when it comes to the case before when the father went away, hu delo eisei la'av, the av was not around, he was not present. And so we are not sure if he's going to give consent or not. And that's why Rav presumed that he will give consent, because there's no indication otherwise. Whereas over here, aval hacha de'isei la'av, but here when we see the father is present, he was not told about the Nisuin, and now afterwards he is now present, and he's told about the Nisuin, and he is quiet, and we don't know why he's being quiet. Here we can interpret Hai De'ishtik, the fact that he's quiet, is Mirtach Rasach. He is upset, he's angry, that's why he's being silent, that's why he's being Shosik. So as opposed to earlier, the case number one, where the father went away, we have no indication, no display of anger, no display of, on either front, as to how he's going to hold. So we'll presume that just like the Kiddushin was done with consent, so too the Nisuin will be done with consent when he comes home. But in this case, Rav Huna argues that since the father is present, he was not told about the Nisuin, Kiddushin was done with his consent, Nisuin was done without his consent, but he's in the local city, and he was informed afterwards, and he was shosik. If he told us, absolutely not, I'm displeased, okay, then we know our answer. But if he's quiet, what do we do? So says Rav Huna, if he's quiet, that's an indication that he is rasach, that he's upset. And that's why he's quiet. He doesn't want to talk about it. So that should be a display of anger. And that display of anger should disallow her from having truma. However, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba argues the other way. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar Ocheles. No, in this case where the father is present in front of us, she's still allowed to have truma. And says Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Afilu l'Rav Asi d'Amar Ein Ocheles. And even according to Rav Asi from case number one, who said that when the father travels abroad, she's not allowed to eat truma because maybe there's a chashash that when the father comes back, he's going to protest. Even Rav Asi will be mode over here when the father is present, that she is allowed to eat. Why is that? Hasam hu deshema yavo avia v'yimcha. The reason why Rav Asi said in case number one that we can't allow her to eat truma is because shema yavo avia v'yimcha, because maybe the father will come home from abroad, and he'll protest. We don't know what he's going to do, so we have to be choshesh. Aval hacha, but here, since the father's in front of us, midishasik, and he's being silent, his silence is not a display of anger, just the opposite. His silence is isnuche isnachnalei. It's a display that he is agreeing to it, that he's conceding to it. If he really was upset, he should scream, he should yell, but he's not. So everyone will agree over here, says Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, that she will be able to eat truma. So these are the two cases which the Gemara right now is showing are independently argued upon. We have case number one where she was mikudeshes with the consent of the father, but the nisuin was done without his consent and the father is abroad, and we're not sure how he's going to react when he comes home. Rav says she can eat the truma, and because we'll presume that the father will consent. We have no reason, we have no indication otherwise. Whereas Rav Asi argued and says, no, we have to be choshesh that maybe he's going to protest when he comes home, which will be a truma lemafreya being eaten illegally. That was case one. And now we have case two between Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, where the father is present. And both Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba are explaining their shitas in a way that doesn't interfere with the previous case, where everyone can agree to their respective stances. Rav Huna is saying, in this case where the father is present, everyone will agree to me that she's not allowed to eat. Even Rav, in the previous case, who said she can eat, will agree to me here that she cannot eat, because here we have an indication, a display of anger by his silence, because he's in front of us. Whereas Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba is arguing the opposite, that everyone will agree to me here that she's allowed to eat. Even Rav Asi from case one, who says that she's not allowed to eat because we're choshesh that maybe he'll protest, the father, here we're going, it's clear that he's not protesting because he's in front of us and he's not yelling, he's not screaming, he's agreeing to it, he's just quiet. That was all case two. Now comes the final case, case number three. Niskatsha shalola dasaviyam. If she was, again, now we have two strikes against us. Kiddushin was done without the consent of the father. Niskancha shelo l'das avia. So in the previous two cases, it was l'das avia. Now you're 0 for 1 already. The kiddushin was done without her without his consent. Furthermore, the niseish shelo l'das. And also the Nisuin, stage 2, was also done without the consent of the father. So you're now 0 for 2. You have nothing. No consent of the father by the Kiddushin, no consent of the father by the Nisuin. Sounds like the worst case of all. The Avia Khan, and her father is in front of us now. We are now seeing him, and he's quiet. What's the halacha now regarding the Kiddushin, Nisuin, and the halacha of Truma? So believe it or not, Rav Huna Amar Ochalas. She's allowed to eat the Truma. Sounds very strange at first, because we're 0 for 2 over here. Both the Kiddushin and the Nisuin were done without the consent of the father, and Rav Huna is saying she's allowed to eat the Truma. And right now, she has no hector of Truma, not Midoraisa even, because the Kiddushin wasn't even done with the Das of the father. So what's going on? The Gemara is going to ask this kasha. Rav Huna Amar Ochelas. Rav Yimer Bar Abba Amar Eina Ochelas. Rav Yimer Bar Abba says she cannot eat the Truma, which is very reasonable to us, because here we're 0 for 2. Everyone should agree that she can't eat. So Rav Huna is the one who really needs work. He's saying you can eat Truma. So Ula is going to ask this kasha. Amar Ula, Hadar Rav Huna, this that Rav Huna said, his halacha, that she's allowed to eat Truma in this case where she's 0 for 2, no consent of the father, both by Kiddushin and Nisuin, is based on the pasuk, Kachumitz la'shinayim v'ke'oshin la'inayim. It's like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Yud, pasuk Chavav. It doesn't make sense. It's so unclear. It's like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Hashta, now, uma hasam de kiddushe deoraisa. If over there, in the meaning, in the previous case, where we say, de kiddushe deoraisa, amart, lo achla, if in the previous case, Rav Huna, you told me in case number 2, where the kiddushin was not done l'das avia, there, and where the Kiddushin was done, l'das avia, and only the Nisuin was questionable. And there, Rav Huna, you're the one who said that even though the Kiddushin was done, l'das avia, the Nisuin was the one that was questionable because there was no consent at that point. There, Rav Huna, you were machmir, and you said you cannot eat Truma. And that was talking about where you already had a Kiddushin, deoraisa, being done properly with the father's consent. It was just the Nisuin that was not done yet, and it was only impacting on Truma on a derabanan level, because she's allowed to have Truma midoraisa, because the Kiddushin was fully intact. It was done with the consent of the father. There yet, you Rav Huna, you still were machmir, and you said, amart lo achla. Hacha, in this case, in case number 3, where the Kiddushin is not even done, l'das avia, and the Nisuin is not done l'das avia, you're 0 for 2. But more importantly, even the Kiddushin, which was not done with the father's consent, which would mean that the Truma that we're discussing now, the ability to eat Truma, is an issue of a Deoraisa now, because the Kiddushin may even be questionable now. Hacha lo kol shekein. Certainly, Rav Huna, you should be machmir here and say she's not allowed to eat Truma. Because if you're going to tell me that on a derabana level, in case number 2, where you had a good kiddushin midaraisa, it's just an nisuin which was questionable, and which is only an issue on a derabana level for truma to eat, you still were machmir. Kol shekein over here, where even the kiddushin was not intact because it was not done with the consent of the father, you should be machmir, because now we have an issue deoraisa. We have an issue on a deoraisa level for eating truma. There's an iser deoraisa to eat truma on a deoraisa level if you don't have a good kiddushin. So Gemara says, and therefore, near in Divrei Talmud, therefore this should be a clear indication to Paskin like the Talmud of Rav Huna, which is Rav Yirmiyah, in the second shita that was quoted in case 3, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who is the Talmud of Rav Huna, who said, Eina Ochelas, Nirin Divrei Talmud. His shita is Nirin. It seems correct. We're a Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We just turned the page. So the Gemara says, How do we defend Rav Huna? And with this we'll close. How do we defend Rav Huna? How can he say that you can eat truma in a case where you have no kiddushin l'das avia and not nisuin l'das avia, which is seemingly a deoraisa issue? Whereas before, when you had kiddushin intact, with consent, and the nisuin was questionable, he was being machmir. How come in this case, where you have no kiddushin, no nisuin, he's being more mekel? So Amar Rava, the following svara, my time adir Rav Huna, hoel v'nasa ba maisa yisoma b'chayav, because she is viewed as an orphan in the lifetime of her father. We've had this concept before, but basically, Rashi, as Rashi spells it out, ironically, the fact that both the kiddushin and the nisuin was done without the consent of the father is more grounds to assume that there is consent, as opposed to the previous case where only the kiddushin was done with his consent and the nisuin was questionable. Why is that? So Rashi explains, we're going to, if a father is quiet both by the kiddushin and by the nisuin, when he hears about it, when it was done without his consent, then we only have one or two possibilities to assume. Either he is completely relinquishing his schusim to marry off his daughter because he's completely staying out of it. He's completely not stating his opinion. He's not telling us his stance at all. If he really wanted to be involved, he would have spoken up. So either he's completely relinquishing his rights to his daughter, and therefore she can do whatever she wants, because once the father relinquishes his rights to marry her off, then the katana has her own rights to do it herself. Or maybe he's not relinquishing his rights, but he is giving his consent, because it's highly improbable for someone who is upset about what's going on to not say anything by both stages, both by kiddushin and nisuin. At least he should argue and scream and yell by one of them. But if he's able to stand both by the kiddushin and the nisuin when he's informed and be shosik and not say a word, that must be showing us that he's pleased with what's happening. So either he's pleased or he's relinquishing his rights. The third possibility, that he's angry and that's why he's being quiet, is highly improbable, because it's not probable for a person to be so angry and to go through kiddushin and nisuin and not scream and not yell and not pipe up. So this is the distinction. This is as opposed to case number two, where the kiddushin was done with the consent of the father, and only the nisuin is where there's a question as to whether there's consent or not, and we see that the father is quiet. There, Rav Huna felt, and it was machmir, that the father's silence actually displays anger, because it's reasonable that there is a possibility that he is displaying anger by being quiet. But since it was only one situation, it was only one during one stage of the nisuin, the kiddushin was done with his consent, the only stage of silence that we see him in is the nisuin, so it is possible that his quietness, his shtika, is a display of anger. However, in our case, number three, where we're having both stages, both kiddushin and nisuin, he's completely quiet, and he's in front of us, we can't assume that he's displaying anger. Either he's relinquishing his rights completely and he doesn't want to get involved and the katana can do whatever she wants, or he's completely satisfied with what's happening. It's not probable for him to have been angry, because if he were, he would have at least argued at least once in one of these two stages. So Ad Kan, the three cases that we discussed. Hatzlucha.